All right, Reality Daily, Wyatt coming at you here. It is the Amazing Race 36, Episode 7, and I am joined, as always, by Jeremy. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm good, Wyatt. We are running the race through Uruguay today, and I love Uruguay. I would, like, that's one of, like, the places that I would want to go. That doesn't feel like a typical tourist destination. Like, I feel like most Americans aren't like, yeah, let's go to Uruguay. They're probably more like, let's go to Brazil or let's go to the Andes, you know. But Uruguay, like, I thought it was beautiful in this episode. So I'm excited to talk about it with you.
Yeah, I like it because it's just not a tourist spot. And you hit the nail right on the head. And I like that they're kind of going to some places that maybe we wouldn't have got in a regular season. Because when you're only picking maybe like one country per continent, you know, you may just go with the hits every now and then. But I'm interested to hear your perspective on this leg from a design standpoint, because just looking at it on paper, the challenges I think were great. I love manual labor tasks. I think they're fun. And I love always like anything to do with like the arts, whether it's singing, dancing, the musical instruments, because I feel like it always trips people up. And I think that the race results this week kind of showed that, how we did have a lot of teams shuffled. But at the same time, especially with the melody task, I feel like there weren't many teams that struggled. So it kind of almost seemed like, okay, like we're watching 90 minutes, but like very few teams are struggling.
You know, most of the episodes this season, I haven't really thought, oh, like it's a 90-minute episode, or oh, this episode feels drawn out. And this episode, you know, fit that pattern as well. I thought it was a very well-rounded leg. You know, it involved, you know, navigation, it involved manual labor, it involved skill, it involved music. So a lot of different skills on this particular leg. I was a little surprised that the detour featured two musical tasks. But in some way, like usually it's one musical task and then one completely different one. But I kind of like that it was two similar tasks, because it forced the teams to have to, you know, flex that skill on the race. And so like they couldn't avoid it. Which, you know, like it requires, so it almost was like a roadblock in a sense, where you have to be good at this in order to move on. But they were able to do it in a detour way. And I thought that was pretty cool.
I do think the tasks this season have, I don't want to say easy, because I think that's unfair, but I definitely think they have been designed to not have as many failures as a typical, Amazing Race leg, because you know, you want to get everything done by sundown, because you don't have, you know, a layover at the airport. You don't have like something that you can have the contestants be like, hey, get this clue and be ready to take the ferry at 8 a.m. You know, they want to get everything done in one day. So I think they don't want people there forever, because if that's the case, it's going to be like Derek and Shalisa last episode, who didn't even actually do the final detour in the mega leg because they were so far behind and it was getting towards the end of the day. So I do think that, you know, they're really making these challenges for who can do it fast and who can get out, as opposed to like who's going to have to like trial by error to get it wrong. A lot of these tasks, I think, are able to be done in one go.
Yeah. And to be fair to Derek and Shalissa, you know, like they were in the mega leg, so there were more opportunities for teams to move ahead, teams to fall behind, and you know, they started in last place to begin the leg. So, you know, it made sense for them to kind of fall back in the pack when you only have one detour and one roadblock to deal with. And the tasks were relatively, you know, self-explanatory, pretty straightforward. There wasn't that real opportunity, although I don't know how far behind the eliminated team was from the rest of the group. I think that they had a pretty wide margin between them and the rest of the pack.
Yeah, definitely seems like it. Before we get into the actual race, I have to talk about this awful product placement here from Expedia. It just made the app look like shit, Jeremy.
You know, I still have not really fully immersed myself in the Expedia like change. Like, to me, it's still Travelocity as the main sponsor, and it's been like that for a few seasons now, I think, where it's been Expedia instead of Travelocity. But I can always, like, I always think of just you want a trip for two from Travelocity and you're going to Uruguay or you're going to Paris. And it, to me, like it hasn't clicked enough yet that the new sponsor is in place.
Yeah, I'm still ready to see the gnome every single time that I watch the race. But I don't have a problem with product placement. You know, if you're somebody that watches The Amazing Race Canada, you know that they are just chock full of product placements in the same way that Big Brother Canada is. It seems like that's just something that they have to do to make ends meet. So I don't mind like a product placement here. But Jeremy, I just feel like it didn't really serve its purpose. I don't think it got the viewers to like think about Expedia or anything. Here's what I suggest. You know, I've been talking about how I don't like these groups being in segments where it's like two groups, three groups, two groups, etc. What about if they did, hey, if you get the first group, you get to book a 5-star hotel. If you get the second group, you got to get to book a 3-star hotel. And if you were in the last group, you got to sleep outside. I think that would be a little bit more interesting because I think you would interwove the like Expedia app in it more where you're like, actually, you can get like you can filter by stars. You can filter by price point. And I think just people sleeping outside would be a more memorable scene than this.
Perhaps, but I feel like, you know, it would create the same problem that we see like on Survivor where the losers get punished. They don't have their flint. And the losers stay the losers, you know, it would prevent there from being like any kind of shuffling in the placements. And, you know, they used to in the early seasons, you know, they would show like wherever they were staying and all of that. And I feel like I wish they had that back because we can kind of see how the teams interact while they're not in the middle of a race, but that's just where it is. I think that they can do some product placement in a little bit more of an interesting way in the future. However, given the COVID, you know, the COVID affected season, I think it kind of limits you.
Definitely. But let's get into the first grouping. We had Juan and Shane coming off their first place and then Ricky and Cesar. Ricky and Cesar was, I thought, had a really astute take where they were basically like, hey, like, obviously we'd like to be first. We're still going to race for first. But as long as we're not like in the second or third group, as long as we can stay in the top, that we're pretty happy. So I'm happy to hear that they weren't just like panicking over the fact that they lost one leg. But the real story here, Jeremy, is going to be Juan and Shane, because Juan has food poisoning. Jeremy, this is his Jordan flu game.
This is his Jordan flu game. And it doesn't seem like it really affects them until right at the end of the race. But, you know, did it really affect them? Like, I'm struggling to see a spot in the leg where this really affected them and they went slower because of it.
Yeah, I don't think it really affected them in terms of their placement. I mean, maybe if Juan was feeling better, maybe he navigates a little bit better. I don't know. But it didn't seem like they struggled too much with the task. I think what it really gave us, though, is a story for them this episode. And I feel like with them not really struggling with any of the tasks, I think that you kind of needed something there. So, you know, obviously, I'm glad that Juan was not more sick. But, you know, it did give us something to at least kind of, like, remember Juan and Shane. Otherwise, I don't think we would be saying anything about them other than like, hey, they did, you know, they survived.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
And then we have group two, Rod and Leticia and Vinny and Amber. For Rod and Leticia, they get a little bit of a confessional before they start the leg. And Leticia's saying, I'm getting a little homesick and I'm missing all of my kids, but especially the youngest 7-year-old daughter. Jeremy, I don't know if you were catching this and you were thinking the same thing, but when I heard that, I was like, I think they're going home this episode.
Again, it gives them some storyline going into this leg. And, you know, now that they're at the final 6 or 7 teams, you want to give each team like reason for people to root for them if they were to make it to the final leg. So I think that that's what we're getting here from Rod and Leticia, a little bit of character development. And yeah, it gives them a reason to root for them. I think we've seen them more so because it's Rod being the NFL player and his wife. But we don't really focus a whole lot on them being parents and, you know, having like 3 or 4 kids. So I think that that was more of what it was. I didn't think of it as, oh, this is their swan song.
Yeah, I thought most of the episode they were probably going to go at some point. I thought they probably were going to struggle on their drumming of some sort, but happy to see that's not the case. I don't necessarily think that they are the winners, but I think if you're somebody that's looking at like a winner edit, I think that, yeah, at least give them a little bit of a plus one there in terms of like, hey, like their parents, like they're reliable. Like we want to see parents win because we want to see like people's kids be like, have their life be better, even if they're probably already in a okay financial position.
Yeah. I could see them in the losing finalist role. I think that they are strong enough to where they probably are in the top three teams. Although we're going to get to like, I think once we lose one or two more teams, like it could really be a toss-up for any of them. But it wouldn't shock me at all if Rod and Letitia are racing the final leg.
Yeah, my guess for their placement is probably third, because I do think they'll struggle with like the memory task, especially when you're competing against like a team like Ricky and Caesar, potentially Danny and Angie. You know they're gonna know exactly what to put down for those type of tasks. So if any of those teams are there, let alone both of them, I think they're going to have an uphill battle. But let's get into what I think is the probably the most important team this episode, and that's Vinny and Amber. Holy hell, Jeremy.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, we saw a little bit of them, you know, in this light earlier in the race when they were, you know, really at the top of the pack. And it seems like these problems are continuing to rear its ugly head. And I get where Vinny's coming from with Amber, because I do think that Amber and her self-doubt does hurt their team overall. That being said, Vinny is not doing enough or the right things to make the situation any better. And I think Vinny is operating like this because he knows, he's feeling the pressure of the race. And, you know, this is now leg seven. You know, we have seen them, you know, this is probably like 2 weeks of racing, you know, like this in this, you know, in this hot weather, away from home on low sleep. And I think that that's, you know, something that we don't really see a whole lot of on the show, but it still is a factor, and I think that Vinny is feeling the heat, and Amber is as well. But they are one of the more physically gifted teams in the race. I do think they are pretty well rounded, but yeah, this could be their Achilles heel, and if they don't win the race, you know, this could be the reason why. Either that, or they just lose to a better team, but this is very self-sabotaging, and it could result in their elimination prematurely.
Yeah, definitely. And, I don't know if they're still together. I assume they are. But I would say that if I was watching this in real time in the way that, like, Big Brother airs, I would certainly be worried about that. What I can say is, like, listen, Vinny was an asshole here. I think everybody will agree with that, but I'm not on the bandwagon where it's like, I 100% despise Vinny in this. I do think that like Amber's also stubborn, and I don't think that she is like completely not at fault there for some of their miscommunication. I just think that the way that Vinny handles it and the way that Amber handles it is a lot different, where I don't think that Amber comes off as toxic at all, where Vinny does at times. And I think this episode, it really bowled over. And I'll tell you who I felt the worst for. Out of this whole ordeal, it wasn't Amber. It was Todd from last season, because Todd from last season, he was also like Vinny Light. He was very competitive, but he was never like to this level. And when he was on the race, he got abused online. Like, you would have thought that he was basically doing what Vinny was doing times two, the way that people were talking about him. And I said, when I was podcasting that with Nathan, I was like, I just don't think that it is as bad as people are, you know, putting in there, because he's just a competitor, and like, they obviously know how to communicate with each other, where in this situation, they clearly do not.
Yeah, it was definitely, kind of a continuation of this, you know, storyline. I'm reading now on social media that I believe, and I don't have this confirmed, I think someone tweeted that they are engaged now. So they're able to get past their troubles. So, you know, I don't know if that means they win the race necessarily. But yeah, I think that Amber and Vinny, if they're at their best, could win the race. Like they genuinely could. They have what it takes to win the race, even in a group that has Ricky and Cesar and Angie and Danny and Rod and Letitia and Juan and Shane. Like, I really do feel like any of those five, even Angie and Danny, yes, I do think any of those five have a chance to win the race. But Amber and Vinny have been the team that looks to me like their synergy could be what does them in. And we'll see if that ends up being a factor in these last couple legs.
Yeah, definitely. On paper, they were kind of like, in my opinion, like a chalk favorite coming into the race. You know, both in good shape, both obviously very smart as they work as anesthesiologists. And I would assume that they work good under pressure. But that has been probably the most shocking part to me. But I do want to talk about something else that they say before they do argue with each other. They said, listen, we're running on race's leg. We're severing the alliance. At this point, severing alliance at the right time is crucial. That's what Vinny says. My theory on it, Jeremy, is this, is like, if you still have something to gain from an alliance, I wouldn't rule it out. Now, they didn't, I don't think, ever meet up with Danny and Angie at any point. But like, you know, you relied on Danny and Angie for navigation for two legs in a row. So I probably would not sever whatever you want to say, that alliance, especially since we saw last episode that you could beat them in a foot race. It should be to Danny and Angie to sever. Amber and Vinny should be looking at it as like, hey, like, we'll work with whoever, you know, if it benefits us.
Yeah, but I think that at least with Amber and Vinny, like, they feel extremely loyal to Angie and Danny. But we're getting to a point now, Wyatt, where I think, you know, one more leg of working with teams makes sense. However, what, like, if you're getting to the semifinals, the quarterfinals, to me, that is the time to run your own race. And unless there's, like, in a very extreme circumstance, you know, there's two teams, or there's three teams left, two spots left in the finale, and you don't see the third team in sight. Like, that is the time. But for the most part, especially in a race like this where every team is so tight, I think that alliances are going to start to fall by the wayside.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you that they've already fallen probably by the wayside. I don't expect any team to help each other going forward, but I think, like you said, like, it takes an extreme circumstance. To me, that circumstance is COVID-19, where we've completely reshaped the race, and now it's Amazing Race OTT at this point. And I just feel like that we've seen the blueprint, and the blueprint is that there's not much variance, and the race is probably going to be, you know, probably going to be decided by navigation in the major part. So I just feel like if you're Amber and Vinny and you suck at navigation and you suck at communicating with each other, then I probably would latch on to a team like Danny and Angie if feasible, for as long as you're able to. So I just felt like that him saying like, hey, like, we're going to sever, you know, the alliance at this point, because that's what's important. I agree with that in a regular race where there is a lot more variance, but I definitely would not kick Danny and I would not be the one to kick Danny and Angie to the curb if I was them. I would make them kick me to the curb, because I know I can.
I don't think Amber would let them do that. And yeah. And in some ways, like, that could be a hindrance, but it could also be seen as an asset, because, you know, social game is something in the Amazing Race. It doesn't always have to be there, but in this season, you know, it is there. And if you make good relationships with your competitors, it could benefit you down the line. And that's what it seems like Amber and Vinny and Angie Danny could be for each other. I don't necessarily want to say they wouldn't have gotten to this point in the race without the other, but it could be a way to get past some of these later legs to get you that much closer to the final.
Absolutely. And then we're going to get into the last group here. That's Danny and Angie, Yvonne and Melissa, and Busy and Sunny. Angie and Danny, I mean, the alliance worked for them last episode, but they are going to get some consequences this episode, because they are going to be in the final pack. They are going to be 15 minutes separated from the group that they ran the race with.
Yeah, and that was a wake-up call for them, definitely. And You know, but also they're not with their allies in this group, and they have an opportunity to really run their own race. And they definitely did that. They were probably the best performing team in the race. I mean, look, they were in a foot race for first. So really what separated them from, you know, getting first place was their start time. I guess they started 15, 30 minutes later than Ricky and Cesar. So they ran the fastest leg in this leg of the race. Unfortunately, they just didn't start soon enough to pull out the win. So that, like, I would be taking this as a win if I'm Angie and Danny. And, absolutely, you know, I think Angie definitely did. We saw that confessional of her where she said that her mindset has completely shifted and she really sees herself and Danny as a true contender to win the whole leg or win the whole race. And, you know, hey, like, they never really thought that early on in the race. And, you know, we saw Angie and Danny really talking about, hey, let's just get to the next leg. And now they've done that. And seven legs later, they're in a foot race for first. So they can see the finish line now, I think, and with such few teams left. And I think that they really feel like they've got a shot, and that can do so much for their confidence moving forward.
Yeah, at this point, it's like, oh, this isn't my son's dream. This is like, yeah, this is my son's dream, but this also could, like, help me retire earlier. You know what I mean? Like, you have to start thinking about, you know, what you would spend the money on if you're Angie, and how much that may benefit you, whether it's a big purchase or just investing. But then we get Yvonne and Melissa. They're going to talk about how this is going to be baby boot camp for them. They're thinking about maybe having a family later on. And their theory on it is that if the race is so stressful, I mean, what could be more stressful than the race? It's got to be raising a baby. So if we can hang together in this environment, we can hang together in any environment. I guess I like this from them because at least it gave them a story. But unfortunately for Yvonne and Melissa, it's really all we get.
Yeah, again, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just the other teams giving more desirable content. I don't know if it's just... like, but we have seen a huge purple edit on them the whole way through. And yeah, even in this, like, when they were right about to go home, they were, you know, almost last place. And they've just been in the middle of the pack the whole time. Like, they really haven't had any story arcs. They haven't really had any adversity to face. But right now, all we're seeing is now that the teams are starting to crunch the numbers, they are now appearing in the bottom of the pack as opposed to the middle of the pack. Haven't done enough to, like, move to the front of the pack. And to me, like, that just shows that they are good racers, not great racers.
Yeah, I really think that they're just not getting the airtime because they're a little monotoned. Even their jokes, which I do find them quite funny as well, but, like, even their jokes are a little bit, I guess you want to call it, like, dry humor. And I think when you compare it to, like, Ricky and Cesar, that are just, like, very naturally funny. You got Danny's excitement that you want to have, and then you have Rod and Letitia, who's hilarious. You know, Derek and Shalisa, Karishma. I mean, there was a lot of funny people there, and there was a lot of people that were just loud and boisterous. And I think that, similar to them, Busy and Sunny also didn't get a whole lot of airtime this season, but obviously have gotten a little bit more this episode because they are going to be the boots. I did not like, though, that at the beginning of this leg, Busy and Sunny were like, hey, we're racing for Firefighter Mamas this leg. And I'm like, girl, you've been racing for them the whole race. Like, what do you mean? You got to give us something new, Jeremy. You got to say this one's for the landscape architecture enthusiasts or whatever, you know, Sunny likes to do. I just feel like it's the same thing over and over with them. And they have so much. I believe, like, one of them was in the military. I mean, they have so many skills. I would have liked to kind of, like, pull back some of those layers a little bit more instead of just, like, regurgitating back to, like, you know, hey, we have children and we're firefighters.
Yeah. I also think that, like, they can only show what you've done. And if you're, and it, to me, like, with Yvonne and Melissa, and Sunny, I mean, Sunny and Busy were a little bit different, but they had, I guess, similar storylines. You know, you can only show what happens. And if what happens just isn't compelling for the TV, then you're not going to be seen as much as some of the other people. So I think that that's kind of the fate that these two teams have kind of just undergone this season.
I did like how they were saying they wanted to win a trip, and Busy was like, yeah, but if we win, I'm not taking my family on it. Like, it's mine. I did like that.
Absolutely. She's the one who earned it.
Yeah. Here's my question for you, Jeremy. Let's say that you go on the Amazing Race with a friend. You win two trips. Do you look at your teammate and say, hey, you take one trip and you can take a family member or your significant other or whatever, and I'll take the other one? Or do you say, hey, no, we both are going to go on both of them, and our family / significant others, like, fuck them. They're not the ones that won.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. But yeah, that's about it.
The way I would go is I would say, listen, we run the race together. Like, you know, we trusted enough like each other to be here. I won't like to go to Thailand and South Africa or wherever they've won. But they're trying to elevate to the first or second group today because they feel like, hey, we've done so well in challenges. As long as we can do well in the navigation, we'll be fine. Unfortunately for them, it is going to be a struggle for them, just like it has been in the past. And it's mainly going to be because Busy is not able to communicate the map and has to even show Sunny while she's driving. I was worried that there was going to be some distracted driving. We were going to have an international incident in Uruguay.
That would have been bad. But hey, yeah. that would have been a good storyline.
Yep. They would have got more airtime that way. But that takes us to the first roadblock, or I guess the only roadblock this episode. It's not a mega leg. And it's who wants to make sparks fly? I think most teams kind of nailed on the head what this was going to be, is it was going to be something to do with welding. The teams had to weld two pieces of metal together to pass a strength test, which had to be blasted with the hammer twice. Jeremy, I like this task. I like the trades when they make people do like trades work. What I didn't like is it just felt like what they were building was useless. Like, it was just a piece of metal. Like, if it was something that was like, hey, this is an attachment that consistently has to be welded onto these cargo ships that like get hurt or something like that, that would have been fun. Like, make them make something that actually could have been used in some capacity, like something that they normally would use at this like shipyard.
Yeah, and then they can use that for like their next task or something.
Yeah, I just wanted it to be something that's practical, something that could be used. Because, yeah, it's great that you weld, but I want it to be something that they would actually, the people that work there would normally weld. The guy who's like, like washed up drunk Thor, who's hitting the stuff with the hammer, I want it to be something that he could be welding every single day.
Yeah, I was surprised by how many teams had a connection to welding. People were like, yeah, like, that is my dad's a welder. I think two people said their dad was a welder. And then other people were like, oh yeah, like I've done welding before. Like I had to weld in a class of mine or something like that. But that was a bit of a surprise to see all these people so into welding. It's a big welding group.
Yeah, I'm thinking about this. I was like, did CBS do this on purpose? Or, and by CBS, I mean the Amazing Race. They did this on purpose. Like, were they setting up challenges that, like, not necessarily they knew that there was all this experience, but I do wonder if it's like, okay, like, we know that Danny loves puzzles, so we're going to give a Rebus puzzle here. We know that this team loves, like, singing and performing, so we're going to do this music challenge and this. Like, I just wonder if they were, like, putting together kind of like challenges that would be suited for one specific team all throughout the race. Like, it's completely fair because everybody's got a challenge they should be good at. But I wonder if that's kind of what they were doing here, where they were trying to like to make up for the lack of, I guess, variance in the race. They wanted to like make the task, I guess, a little bit more exciting to have, you know, some people be interested in it and like have some experience in it.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, it also is just the task. Like, I don't know. I don't think that they, I think in this particular case, it was just coincidence that so many of them had connections to welding and they had to do a welding task. Like, that to me is kind of what I thought of it. I didn't really think, oh, like, they made it a welding task because every team has some connection to welding. Like, I don't think that was the case.
Yeah, and the partners had
because
to wear.
Because what if those teams, like, what if six of the teams that were in this race, what if they were the eliminated teams and we got the six eliminated teams in the final seven? You know, then you really, then like, oh, nobody has a connection to welding. Or maybe they all.
Well, maybe they did. Have a connection. Yeah. Maybe Karishma took it in. Maybe Karishma took it in high school. Shalissa and Derek, they had to do it in the fours. Like, you never know. The jump rope people, they might have had to weld across. They might have been what they did before they opened up their double jet studio. We'll never know.
I don't think the twins would have had a welding task.
I don't know if they're good at anything.
Exactly.
With all due respect, I don't know if they, I don't know what they would have been good at. Maybe smoking a joint. I don't know if that would have been a detour at any point. But I did like that the partners were wearing these big old goggles. Like, it looked like almost like an Oculus Rift. Looked like something that Apple would sell for like $1,000 overpriced.
Did you notice that Sunny was the one doing the roadblock, but she was wearing Busy's mask?
I didn't, but I did listen to RHAP where Jessica Lise pointed that out, and I did think that that was quite funny because I didn't catch it, she didn't catch it, and I guess Amazing Race didn't even catch it because I think they probably would point that out.
I wonder if they would be able to take those home. Like, I understand like not being able to take home like every single prop, but like one that has your name on it, it's like, oh yeah, remember when we were welding in Uruguay?
Yeah, on that same episode, they had Corey on there that, you know, he was partnering with Tyler Oakley, and he was saying that I think there was a couple things that they, like, took back from them, like they wouldn't let them have, and I just kind of feel like it should be like Big Brother, you know, Big Brother at the end of every season, they'll, like, ship you a box, and it has, like, your BB comic, and your, like, key, and all this stuff, and I just feel like, hey, this is, like, almost like a time capsule of your time here. And I really wish that like the Amazing Race would do that too. If they don't already, I'm sure they got the budget to ship out a couple FedEx packages. You know, Survivor for that matter, Tough as Nails, whatever it is. I think that it's good to kind of have like the mementos because I mean, this is an experience that most of these people will not get again. And what I mean by that is a reality television. So it's like, hey, like, let's give these people as much as we can. Because, like, what else are you going to do with it? Chunk it? Like, donate it on eBay? Like, I don't know what else you would do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But Ricky and Caesar, they're going to be the first ones to get there. Caesar's going to do it for his team. He said he took a welding class as elective. He tried to make his dad proud as his grandpa had a workshop. I can get this. I can get behind this, Jeremy, because I did have to take ROTC due to my trying to make my parents happy when I was in high school. And much like Caesar, I didn't enjoy it because it wasn't what I wanted to take.
You were in ROTC?
I was for like one semester and it was terrible. Wow. I almost got suspended because like the instructor got in my face because my hair was too long. And he was like nose to nose with me. I was like, dude, get the fuck out of my face. And yeah, I got in trouble for that. But I did make it through the semester.
Good for you.
But for you. Ricky has an advantage here. I mean, excuse me, Caesar has an advantage here. Like he has for most of this race, and that is the fact that he can speak Spanish. So when the instructor is talking, he's basically giving him instructions in Spanish as opposed to just doing a silent demonstration like he did for some of the other teams. And the real issue with Caesar, and it's the first time that we've seen Ricky or Caesar struggle with this, is he's kind of rushing too fast. He even says, like, I just want the guy who's showing me everything to hurry up so I can get into it. And it seems like despite his, you know, a little bit of experience doing this, I do think that him rushing the craft is what really, you know, knocks him behind here.
Yeah, I could see that too. But hey, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, hopefully that's something that they learn from and they don't panic in future tasks. Not saying they panicked here, but you know, I'm sure it was certainly disheartening for the first time ever you were seeing teams like crush you in a competition and they're just like flying past you and you know when you're leaving that you're, you know, kind of in the middle of the pack when you're typically used to being in the first. He was going to complete it after multiple tries. And then we get Juan and Shane. Shane's going to do it for his teams because, you know, Juan had the stomach virus. But I do love that Juan is a little bit irritated because he asked Ricky, he was like, hey, has Caesar ever welded before? And he was like, yeah. And he's like, what? He's like, what? And where? Like, these guys are good at everything.
Yeah. And sometimes that's just how it goes.
Yeah. And they really are kind of the jack of all trades. Like, yeah. Even Ricky can fall right. Like, even he's practiced falling on the race.
Amazing.
But Shane is going to fail on the first attempt, but however, he's going to succeed on the second attempt, or at least I think so. He's going to get smashed on the second hammer. I did love the fake out here because I forgot how many hammer strikes it was sometimes. And I did love when like the first one they would celebrate and the second one would absolutely just crush their hopes and dreams.
Yeah, I think that in this, like when you get to this point in the race, you're getting so close to the end, and the more mistakes, like the fewer mistakes you make, you know, the better. Like if you make one mistake, it could be the end of your hope and dream of winning the race. So
yeah, but he was able to.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was able to get it back together and was able to complete that. Then we get over to Vin. He's going to do it for his team. He took a metal shop course in high school and college. He says he wants to make Amber's dad proud by getting it done first. And he did really great, and I'm sure he did make Amber's dad proud until he fast-forwarded 2 minutes and saw him yelling at her in the car.
Hey, you gotta have some good with the bad. And that was his like saving grace. Well, you know, screw you for yelling at my daughter, but at least you're a good welder, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure that's not going to make up for it completely. But then we have Rod. He says, I want to do this because I like grunt work. And all I got to say, Jeremy, is when is Letitia going to do something? Like, she's done some roadblocks for sure, but he is leading over her by quite a bit. And it's just like, I just don't think that Rod is thinking forward enough to say, hey, like, if you feel confident, if you want the ball at the final play, you know, if you want the ball, you want to make sure that she's got more roadblocks than you. That way, no matter what comes up, you're the one that gets that opportunity. But it's going to be stuck in a position where no matter what comes up, she's going to have the one that's the ball. And listen, I'm not saying that she's not able to score, but it's just like if you are looking at the mystery, wouldn't you want yourself, Rod, to be the one that has that opportunity? Because what about if it's lifting a bunch of weights? You got to move like an entire thing of furniture from one side to another. It's obviously going to benefit you. So I just think it would be better for him to be thinking about this. He really shouldn't have done the soccer last week during the bubble soccer, especially since we had the Alliance. I think that was a great shot for him to be able to get her to do both of the roadblocks and, you know, make it a little bit more even.
Yeah, I think that we talked about this a few weeks ago with Danny and Angie right before the Mega Leg, and how we felt that Angie really needed to do both roadblocks to kind of, you know, make their balance together. I'm not exactly sure what the numbers are between Rod and Letitia, but it could make them later on in the race a little bit more susceptible to failure, because Letitia has to do a roadblock that probably better suits Rod. And you know, you obviously don't know what is coming up and you don't know if that's going to be an issue, but you'd like to have at least the flexibility to be able to have either person do the roadblock. So, yeah, this could be something that comes back to bite them, and it separates the great from the really great teams, is decisions like these. I think Rod and Letitia are a great team. I think that there's very few weaknesses among them. You know, they kind of balance each other well. Rod's strengths are Letitia's weaknesses and vice versa, but we need to see more balance with their roadblocks, and if they can overcome that, they could make it to that final leg and be a real contender to win.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I just think, listen, if you think Letitia's the stronger of you two, then, you know, all credit to you. I just think that that's probably not what Rod and Letitia think. And I think they should probably be considering that, because even though Angie still has to make up, you know, a couple of roadblocks on Danny, at least there's a little bit more flexibility if there's something that she really doesn't want to do or really doesn't think that she can do. You know, at least Danny can still hop in there and do one of the roadblocks, right? And I just don't know if they're going to have that ability in the time where it's going to be that as tight as it ever has been. But he is going to crush this, so I guess, you know, he did do a good job in picking it. He's going to say, what you need your daddy to build? And I love that he was running away with that. Good lines from them. They're great one-liners. But then we got Danny and Angie. Danny's going to do it. He was an engineering and physics major, so although he doesn't have like a ton of experience with welding, he did have to weld this robot that sorts Skittles. Listen, how do you, Amazing Race, have this from Danny and not get a picture? to put on the screen.
Maybe they didn't have a picture.
That's crazy to me. Like, let me tell you something. If I build anything, I'm taking a picture. If I build a damn birdhouse, I'm taking a picture of it. You're telling me that, like, Danny doesn't have one? And you know what? If you don't, then can you get Danny to email that professor and say, hey, can you send me a picture of, you know, a Skittle-sorting robot? Because I guarantee you it's not one and done. That's probably a task that they do in every semester.
Perhaps, or they do something like that. Instead of sorting Skittles, they
sort M&Ms,
dice or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like show me on the screen, because to me, like, my mind was running rampant with that. I think that's really fun. But I did like that we get to kind of go into his academic background, because right now, like, what we know about Danny is that he's a super fan, and that's mostly what we've talked about. In the beginning of the season, like, we didn't know that he was, like, allergic to everything. Like, he was almost like a bubble boy in the beginning. You know, he had, like, a fear of horses because he, like, fell off of one or something like that early on. But other than that, like, after that, it's basically been, like, Danny the super fan, and that's kind of it. And there's obviously so many facets to him. I am glad that there is a little bit of exposure to that as well.
Yeah.
So he is going to survive the first smash, but the second one is going to be what takes him out. But he tries to do it a little slower this time. He's adding a motion in the beginning that he missed, kind of like a grading motion, if you will. And that's what is going to get him his clue. Then Yvonne is going to do it for Yvonne Melissa, because she is more handy, despite the fact that Melissa's dad is actually a retired welder. She was like, you know, I hate to kind of let him down here, but maybe I actually did a good job, because if I did do it, maybe I would let him down by doing so poorly at it there. So, but Yvonne's first attempt, she is going to be able to succeed, but then the second one's going to shatter those dreams. But she is going to complete it after the firefighters, who are neck and neck for last place. Speaking of the firefighters, Sunny is going to be the one that's able to do it. And let's say she's a firefighter. You weld all the time. I thought this was a great opportunity for them to be able to crush the task and potentially make a run at first place here. But Jeremy, despite the fact that they do welding all the time, they did not do it on the first attempt.
No, and I mean, like, every team struggled to get it on the first attempt. I think Vinny might have been the only one that came close, and he might have done it on his second one. Do you remember if Vinny did it on his first or his second?
I think his second.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a difficult task for anybody. But also, like, you had no real idea, like, because it felt strong, but can it withstand a hammer? You know, that's two very different questions, and so it didn't surprise me that none of the teams were able to get that done first.
Yeah, it was a real shame that it took them a little bit longer, but, you know, they have similar equipment back at home, but it just wasn't able to get hit. But she is going to complete it on the second time. Then we get to the detour, and this was Can Dombe or Murga. And basically, it's a drum routine against a Spanish song they must perform. Jeremy, if you're on the race, which one are you going for?
I'm probably picking the drums, just because there's less, I feel like learning a song, there's, you know, there's the language barrier, there's, you know, the singing aspect of it, there's the performance aspect of it, which kind of went unseen in the explanation of the task. You kind of had to learn about it by doing it, so I probably picked the drums, the candombe.
Yeah, I definitely would as well. Even though I think the drum task would be difficult for me, I just think that, like, learning the song in Spanish, or what I would think would be learning the song. It turns out they have basically a paper teleprompter that they can look at. But I just think my pronunciation would be really funky. If it was in English, I'd probably go with the song, but I'd have to go with the drum here. And the drum really is what a lot of teams are going to pick. Amber and Vinny, they're going to be the first one there. They just want to get a cell phone and look at the Google Maps every time, but they're arguing left and right. They don't even know where to look on the map. And Vinny's going to make a comment that he is the only one that can get directions, which is going to upset Amber, because she thinks that, like, he is minimizing her. And that's when he's going to become a toxic little fuck, saying that Amber is draining the team. I got to tell you, team morale at an all-time low here.
Yeah, definitely. And I think they were fortunate, honestly, to get out of this leg where they were.
Yeah, and despite the fact that they left,
easily gone home.
Definitely. And despite the fact that they left first at the welding, they were the fifth team to actually arrive at the detour. And they do the drums. You know, Amber says, listen, I'm not musically inclined at all, but we think this is going to be better. They have a hard time getting it synced in sync, it looks like. But on the second attempt, they're going to nail it. And you know, listen, second attempt, I think, was probably the worst that any team has done, which is kind of crazy if that's going to be the case. But what's nuts is then they're going to, like, not know where they parked the car. And that's going to lead to a massive argument where Amber, and this is kind of where I was saying earlier that she's a little bit stubborn, too. She was very confident in what she thought the car was, and it turned out not to be the case. And, boy, did Vinny let her hear it.
Yeah. I thought it made it seem like Amber was right.
That's
what I thought.
I feel
like edit, like, made it seem like Amber was right, but it turned out they were both wrong. So shame on both of them.
Yeah. I just don't know how you don't know. I understand, like, you're running and everything, but I just feel like I would have to be like, okay, what's around me? Like, what am I looking for here that, you know, I don't get lost on my way out? Because, listen, even when I go to a concert, I'm like, oh, my goodness, like, I got to make sure I know where I parked my car. I would definitely be thinking that when I'm in a country, I don't know, racing for $1 million.
100%.
So due to some navigation issues between Amber and Vinny, Rod and Letitia and Juan and Shane, Danny and Angie, despite the fact that I think they were fifth to leave the welding, they are going to show up in second. And they're going to pick the drums. Angie did band in school, and Danny is a pianist. And it's so crazy to me that Angie was kind of like relying on her band experience. I mean, like, Jeremy, with all due respect, I mean, it's been a long time since she's been in band.
Yeah, but clearly not. Too long, because they seem to really be able to pick up on this task pretty simple and get out of there pretty quick.
I did love that when they went to go get directions, they meet probably the only white person that speaks English in Uruguay. And then, I don't know if you caught this, but as they're getting directions, there's like these two girls that show up and take a selfie with them. And I don't know if you saw it, but they posted the selfie on Instagram.
Yeah, they did. And if there was a team that asked me for a selfie on the race, I would say no.
I don't think they asked. I think they just did it. I think that they were getting the directions and like the girls just like opened up their phone and took the picture.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe maybe also there was like, there was a moment, because I feel like Danny was like posing for a picture.
Well, he like looked up in the picture, so like he I mean, somebody's got a fucking phone out, you know what I mean, holding it up to take a selfie, so it makes sense. But here's what I think, right, is like, shame on these two girls, because if I'm there, I don't know what they had planned. Maybe they were on like some damn missionary trip or something, but I would look at it and say, hey, this team is racing for $1 million, I'm gonna get in my car or my mode of transportation, and I am going to put their location in Google Maps, and they are going to follow me there. Because I'd be damned if I'm going to let a team lose the amazing race if I'm right there with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I would have done that. But
maybe you could have got first. You could have won them a trip.
Yeah.
That irritated me. But they did knock out the drum task, did very well. Then we have Juan and Shane. They decided to do the drums due to Shane, you know, being bad at rhythm and Juan not being able to sing. Or excuse me, Shane being good at rhythm and Juan not being able to sing. I was a little shocked by this just because Juan's speaking Spanish. I thought that he could at least maybe help Shane with the pronunciation the same way that we saw Yvonne and Caesar do it.
Yeah, but clearly that wasn't the case.
And despite Juan feeling like dirt due to his headache, he is going to knock it out on the first try. Then we have Rod and Letitia. They want to do the drums because they can't sing or speak Spanish. And in my opinion, Jeremy, I wanted to make sure Letitia was good with the drums because, you know, last time she had to beat a drum and beg for that money, she did a terrible job.
Yeah, not her best work. But
definitely, definitely not. But today was good, though. This episode was good. She didn't have to beg. She just had to hit the drum this time, and she did a great job. Wonderful. Then we had Busy and Sunny, they're the last to arrive. After, you guessed it, the navigation issues. They're driving around the damn port with all the containers. I thought they were going to like fly right into the Atlantic Ocean if they kept driving. They just seem to be so confused on where to go. And they think the challenge is going to be easier than they expected because it's just a simple 1-2-3 beat. And they're going to succeed at what I think is their first attempt. But unfortunately, they're still in last place. But, you know, the episode is kind of making us, you know, we kind of already know at this point that they're going to be gone. But then we go to the other detour. And that is when Ricky's going to get emotional talking about relinquishing control with Caesar because Caesar's taken the navigation lead. It seems like this has kind of been an emotional breakthrough. And listen, when couples talk about going on the Amazing Race and what they hope to get out of it, I have to imagine that this experience that Ricky has is probably what he's looking for. Maybe not necessarily that, but I think that is something that would contribute to this positive experience that he would expect.
I would agree with that. I think that we're getting to the point now with each team that everyone feels like they are, you know, while it's still very, like, experience-oriented, the teams are starting to figure out, like, oh, like, we have a chance to actually win this. So they're shooting for that as well. And to see, like, to see it go from, it's the experience to it's the winning that matters. You know, I think that we're moving more toward the eyes on the prize kind of game.
Yep. And then Ricky is going to say, hey, I want to do the singing because I do musical theater and Caesar can help me with the languages. And they're pumped up to be doing it in the costumes. I hope they get to keep those in the same way that we talked about the things that Busy and Sunny were wearing, the welding helmets. But they're going to fail the first time because they need more dancing. They need to make it a show. And listen, coming from Ricky, who I believe he said that he did makeup for some of the drag queens, let's say this is basically a, I don't want to say a lip sync, but it's definitely a sing for your life.
Yeah. Maybe they would have done better in that regard. Who knows?
Yeah. They were performing, though. Like, when they actually got the clue, I mean, that was a show. So I really enjoyed that from them. And they're going to be able to knock it out. And like I mentioned earlier, then Ricky's going to take a nasty fall. What I thought was a nasty fall. I verbally gasped out loud, and I was really worried because this is a team that's been in front of the pack the entire time. I was worried maybe he twisted his ankle, you know, maybe he hurt himself. I was just worried about, like, is this team that is so strong now going to have an asterisk beside of them because they got hurt doing something on the race that may prevent them from being able to compete? You know, is he going to have to be on crutches the entire time? So happy that he was able to get back up and had a great line. He was like, I know how to fall. He kept going. Jeremy, I do not know how to fall. I would be in another.
Sure
neck
about
brace.
That?
I'd be on two neck braces.
Oh my goodness, it's kind of hard considering you only have one neck.
Yeah. But then we have Yvonne and Melissa. They're going to arrive, and they almost rear-end a car. I don't know if you caught it, but they were having a hard time parallel parking. They decide to do the singing and think the other teams will choose drums, so it's a potential for them to be able to make up time. I do love the rationale behind it, Jeremy, where it's like, hey, if all the teams are going to do this, this is our real chance not to be in the bottom of the pack. The negative is, though, is if that task is going to be difficult, you know, you're the one that's going to end up getting last. But I think with Yvonne's Spanish background, I do think they probably felt like that. They probably weren't going to struggle as much as maybe some other teams would.
Yeah, they didn't, though. They figured out a way. And that's what matters at this point in the race. You know, getting by one more leg and making it to the next because they're that much closer to the final.
Yeah, they were the only team that really struggled in either of these challenges, and seven times, I believe, is what it took them, and no reason is given as to why for most of them that we saw, but I do know at the end, it was like Yvonne smiled, and she did, and then they won, so maybe it was just that, maybe they just didn't look happy, maybe they had a little bit of RVF going on, I don't know. But then they're going to head to the pit stop, and it's in player Malvin, Caesar versus Danny, battle of the super fans, navigators, for who's going to get first place. Ricky and Caesar get first. I don't think that's a shocker to most people. Although I do think that CBS kind of spoiled it, though, because as they were going to commercial, they have Angie saying, "Hey, Phil," and then it cuts to commercial. So it's making the viewers think, the cat ladies, that Angie and Danny somehow pulled in first. But there was so, they telegraphed it so much, Jeremy, that I was annoyed because I was like, well, now I fucking know who's going to get first, and it's not Danny and Angie.
Yeah. But ultimately, I think that I really don't know how big the difference was between those two. Maybe it was a lot closer than, like, they showed on TV.
I would guess.
Maybe it wasn't as close.
I'd say maybe, like, 5 to 10 minutes would be my guess. Because, like, yeah, they're getting their clue from the drums as Ricky and Caesar are running by them. So I can't imagine that they're going to be, you know, they have to change out of the drums and everything and you know, get the map and get their directions and everything. So I'd probably say closer to 5 than 10. But you really just don't know because the navigation, you know, maybe they took one wrong turn and Caesar took none. And maybe that's a difference of a couple extra minutes. You really just don't know. But sure as hell wasn't a foot race, that's for sure. But due to winning this, Ricky and Caesar, they're going to get one Expedia key cash, which they can use for a 5-night stay in Paris, France, including experiences like a river cruise, the Orsay Museum, it's art museum, I guess, a bike tour and a French wine tasting. Jeremy, is this the best non-cash prize they've had this season, Paris?
It's definitely up there. Paris is obviously a wonderful, wonderful spot. I'm trying to go back to, like, the other places that were... like
South Africa...
South Africa,
yeah, Chile, yeah, Lisbon,
Cape Town, Singapore, and Paris. Out of those four places, I'd probably prefer South Africa, to be honest with you, but Paris probably second.
Yeah, I'd probably go Singapore, but probably would be with you in going Paris second. Like Uruguay, we talked about Uruguay as kind of like not like the basic bitch country to go to. I do think that Paris, France is like the basic bitch answer. If you ask somebody like, hey, where do you want to go outside of the country? I do think a lot of people would say either Paris or like London. But it's like, dude, like it's Paris. Like it's that way for a reason, right? Like there's a lot of things that people look for. So I do think it's great to kind of make these trips, wonderful for them. And they're just racking up the trips right now. Danny and Angie, they're going to get second. They're like, hey, you never know. Maybe we're able to get it. And listen, that big ass puppet that they had there, Big Head, what the hell are they doing here? Like, you couldn't find nothing better than Big Head to have over there on the pit stop.
Listen, it definitely caught your attention, though.
It looks like a Jeff Dunham character.
Listen, justice for Big Head.
Yeah, they were like, oh, it's world renowned. I typed in Big Head like Uruguay, and I couldn't find anything.
Justice for Big Head.
Amber and Vinny, they're still arguing about where the car is at this point, and they're finally going to get in there and be able to get in fourth place as Rod and Letitia are going to get in third. Juan and Shane, they are YOLOing the navigation, it seems, and it costs them about 15 minutes because they're going to take a shortcut. So there is a little bit of debate in terms of if it's going to be Yvonne and Melissa or Juan and Shane they're going to get there, because Yvonne and Melissa are going to stay in the car. Listen, we're not going to take any risk, right? We're not going to try to cut time and try to get fancy. We're just going to go right on the straight path. And it works out for them because they are going to end up on the mats before the pilots, although it did seem like they were pretty close to a foot race because they were right next to each other in traffic.
Mm-hmm. That was, if that ever happens to me and I see a team that's, like, right there, I'm freaking out. Like, I'm like, oh, damn. Like, oh, man. But... yeah, that's really all I can, I would be freaking out. So good for Yvonne and Melissa to get ahead of Juan and Shane there. Obviously, you know, Juan and Shane learn from this probably and say, hey, like, you know, maybe let's just take the most direct route next time. But also at the same time, like they had time, like they were trying to make a play for a higher placement potentially. And it just didn't work out in their favor. And sometimes that's just how it is in the race. So I think that Juan and Shane, like, if they had to do it again, they would do the same thing. And I don't blame them for doing that. And I think that I would have probably done the same thing if they did.
Yeah, you're not going to win the race without risk. Now, you can argue, like, hey, especially in this kind of format where the most you'll get is 30 minutes on a team, is it really worth the risk there? I think there's certainly some risk management that can be done. But, you know, I mean, these guys are damn pilots in the Air Force, right? They're used to taking risk every day, you know, just being up in the sky and having a dangerous job. So I don't think they're necessarily too scared about that. But my thing is this, if they met each other in traffic, how did Yvonne and Melissa get so far ahead that they were able to get on the mat before Wine and Shane could even get on the beach?
They probably found a parking spot first.
Yeah. Wait, like you're in a damn taxi, right? Were they being drove or did they drive?
No, they drove themselves.
Okay. So they were still driving themselves. But yeah, I guess that's probably right. I don't know. Do you have to find a parking spot? Can I not just like ghost whip my car?
Yeah. No, you have to find a parking spot. It's part of the like unwritten rules.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's written somewhere, but
if it's not written, like, you know, we're getting out. So we're ghost riding the whip.
It's in their clue. It's in their clue where they say, oh, you park here. You know, like that is part of the game.
Yeah, I definitely would have loved to see a run to the mat, especially since I think both those teams were not 100% sure that they weren't last, but luckily neither of them are going to be. And firefighters, they are going to be dead last. They're going to be eliminated. Any final words about the firefighters?
You know, a good team in terms of the tasks, but they just got too lost. And that's just how the nature of the race is. I really think that they were probably a lot further behind than I think the edit was suggesting. Yeah, it was trying to be kind to them.
I think so, too. I think this leg, I just don't think there was a lot of room for error this leg, right? I just think that, like, even though we saw a lot of the teams, like, do two or three times on the welding before they got it, I just don't think that it really was a difference maker. I think it was just the navigation. Yeah. I think
especially
it was just the navigation.
Especially when you make an error as fatal as theirs was. They made a really bad navigation error.
And you can be as good at the task as possible, but if nobody else is bad at the task, it's hard for you to catch up. So I will say about Sunny and Busy is, like, at the beginning of the season, I was like, who is this team? Because it took them like 35 minutes to get any airtime, to get a confessional in the first episode. So I really thought that they would be gone a lot sooner. But I really grew to like them a lot because I think the personality finally got to show. And although I talked about earlier how CBS was just kind of jamming in the firefighter mothers as like the only trope that they had, they obviously had a lot of experience in things, you know, landscape architecture. I keep going back to because it's such a wild thing. To have, but I do think that they came across a lot more fun than in the beginning of the race, where I thought they were quite boring. But, you know, in a race like this with these kind of teams, I do think some of the other teams were a little bit more entertaining. So I can't say I'm too sad, but, you know, I certainly did enjoy them on the race, and I hope they had a good time.
Yep. Amen. Cheers.
But next week, Barbados going to Rihanna's house.
Party at Riri's.
I'm excited for that. Barbados is a place that we never would get an episode from if they didn't have this type of, like, Amazing Race OTT COVID-type season. I don't think we'd ever get there. So I am excited to see what they are going to cook out. The trailers look really good. There's some physical labor. Seems like they're in, like, almost like a glorified tuk-tuk at one point where it's like you can drive, but it only has like two seats. So, like, the camera crew has to be in a different car. That's very unique. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, and we see, speaking of the crew, we see that Angie and Danny lose their crew. That causes some problems for them. So hopefully not too many problems, but...
If this screws them in any way, shape, or form, they will be hearing from my lawyer. Because it's just like, it's so bullshit that you have to depend on, like, your camera crew if you're going to win the race. It's like, what happens if Danny and Angie are, like, driving at a normal pace and the people that are in the production truck, they fuck up. They take a wrong turn or something. Or they, you know, they're a little bit, you know... light on the gas and they end up getting passed or whatever. That's not their fault, you know what I mean? So
I'm sure there are, like, you know, rules in place for things like that. So we'll see. I'm sure we'll learn more about it next week and we'll talk about it here at Reality Daily.
Absolutely. And if you are watching The Amazing Race, you're probably watching Survivor because it comes on right before that. Me and Jeremy talk about Survivor every week. You can listen to our most recent episode recap. We also talk about the Challenge All-Stars 4, which comes on Paramount Plus. I'm sure you've seen that advertised. Naveed also joins Jeremy on that. So make sure you're checking this out. If you want to follow us on our social media pages, it's at Reality Daily Pod. My last request is that if you are following us on Spotify, iTunes, etc., please rate and comment. It really helps us out. It helps the algorithm quite a bit and just gets us in front of more eyeballs so we can talk about our favorite thing, which is reality TV. All right. Appreciate everybody for listening. Until next time. Bye.